you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Mark Schanowski, and today it's my great pleasure to be joined by a good friend and a guy you see in various media outlets around the Chicagoland area and nationwide. That is Jordan Cornett. Of course, he played basketball at Notre Dame, and now he's doing great media work in a lot of different forums. Jordan, how are you keeping your schedule straight with all the things you're doing these days?
Yeah, you know, Mark, it's from one thing to the next. I like to keep busy, keep my head down. As my fiance Shay likes to say, it keeps me out of trouble, so it's good.
And you should probably inform people who don't know who Shay is. You're like the Chicago media power couple right now.
Yeah, Shay is. I guess she brings a lot more to the table than I do. Shay Pepler is my lovely fiance. She covers the Bears beat and the Cubs and Bulls, Blackhawks, whomever over at Fox 32. She does a great job.
Yeah, and she's definitely a rising star in the profession, as are you. Of course, you can see Jordan on The Jam on WCIU on weekday mornings. You can hear him with David Kaplan on Cap and Company several times during the week. And, of course, nationwide doing college basketball for ESPN. And he's getting more and more glamorous assignments, which included very recently I did a game involving the Duke Blue Devils. I believe they played Wake Forest that night. How'd you get that assignment, Norman? That's a Dickie V assignment.
Yeah, you know, I was waiting to get dicked, as they call it, with Dickie V jumping on the big game there. But unfortunately, I was able to pass through it and do the broadcast. I've had Duke a few times this season, so I've got a good look at what many hope to be a couple future Bulls, maybe, potentially.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we want to have you on. Obviously, with the Bulls season going the way it is, people are already looking towards the 2019 NBA draft. And the Duke, three of the Duke freshmen are projected to be somewhere in the top five. Of course, we're talking about Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, and Cam Reddish. Let's start at the top with Zion. You know, when the season first started, we all saw the videos of him dunking as a high school player on YouTube, and it was fun. But we're thinking, is the kid really going to be an all-around player who can make a major impact in the NBA? I have to admit, Jordan, I was very skeptical when the season started. But in watching Duke routinely throughout the season, he's really grown on me as a guy who I think can have a major level, major impact in the NBA level. What is your take on Zion Williamson?
Well, for one, Mark, I think the kind of what you alluded to there is the high, lofty expectations of the young man. To me, if I'm any NBA GM or scout, I'm looking at the fact that he's delivered with these high expectations, which means that he can handle the bright lights and the big stage. I mean, coming in, he was supposed to be the best player in the country. He was supposed to be the guy who carries college basketball on his back, and that's absolutely what he's been in the short beginning of this college basketball season that now is in conference play. What sticks out to me is obviously the physical gifts he has, those tangibles you see, his big body, the muscle, his ability to bully his opponents. And that's all fine and well in college. Can you do that with NBA bodies? That's the question mark. But what he's definitely answered in terms of any potential question marks in scoring the basketball, he is incredibly efficient. His percentages from the field in the high 60%. What stood out to me in the last few games is Zion Williamson, as efficient as he's been, scoring 20-plus points per game, doing it at such an efficient clip at around 67% from the field, he's added the three-point shot. And he started to knock that down with some consistency in these last few games, which says to me, if Zion develops the three-point shot as well as the other things in his arsenal, his ability to impact the game defensively, his ability to pass the ball with the vision he possesses, this guy is the clear-cut number one pick in the draft.
You know, the people who love Zion will say that even though he doesn't really have a three-point shot yet, maybe that's something he can develop. And even if he can't, his ability to get to the basket and score in transition is going to make him a really dangerous offensive player in the NBA. But there are others who say at 6'7", 285, if he starts gaining weight, I mean, what kind of position is he going to play at the NBA level? Do you have concerns about how he projects as an NBA player, or do you think his skill set is so impressive that he'll figure it out?
I think his skill set is so impressive he'll figure it out, Mark. And as we know, the NBA ever-changing landscape has really enjoyed featuring guys like a Draymond Green, whose body was questioned, you know, coming out of Michigan State, had some pounds on him. And all he did was lean out and find the ability to be successful at the four and uber successful at the five when they played small ball out there at Golden State with shooters around him. And I think that's where Zion will really be successful, with a team that can space you out. It allows him to start at the four, but go small with a 6'7" 5 with Zion Williamson. And Zion does have the body to defend those bigs and can really put pressure and exploit matchup nightmares as a five guy. The thing that continues to stick out to me, I talked about the efficiency, I talked about the three-point shot, but it's his vision. He's such a great passer, and some of those things you see in a Draymond Green, he truly does possess. I'm not comparing his game to Draymond's, but he does have that Draymond-esque put you on the floor and create mismatches all over the floor. The ability for him to guard anybody, the versatility there, allows for him to potentially play that 4 or 5 slot in a league. I have no concern about his body type translating whatsoever.
You know, when we were watching a Bulls game recently in the green room, myself and Kendall Gill and Will Perdue, and then the Bulls Outsiders group, we were trying to project, you know, what kind of an impact Zion Williamson can have. You mentioned the pressure of expectations because of the YouTube videos, because of the spectacular dunks, and the fact that he's a consensus, you know, projection as the number one pick in the draft. We were trying to figure out, you know, he's not going to be LeBron, he's not going to be Kevin Durant, he's not going to be Anthony Davis, but we were wondering, is he even going to be as good as a Blake Griffin, who was a number one overall pick? How do you weigh in on that?
Yeah, and I'm always weary of having seen so many of these guys. My focus primarily at this point being college basketball, but obviously still doing a lot with the NBA as well. I get weary of putting an expectation on a guy and saying this is who he's going to be. As I look at him, he has a lot of the same skill set as Rodney Rogers, who
right.
is an absolute flat-out star at Wake Forest, went on to have a great NBA career. Had a tragic thing that happened to him in 2008 with an ATV and ultimately paralyzed himself. Very sad story, but when he was playing the game, Rodney Rogers played it at a high level. This guy was a sixth man of the year in the NBA. Look, we don't need to say Zion has to be the next LeBron James, but what you can guarantee, if there is such a thing as a guarantee, is Zion is going to be an impact player at the next level. And I make that Rodney Rogers comparison because, you know, he's that strong lefty who's incredibly explosive. Rodney Rogers possessed a great vision, elite vision, to get teammates involved as a passer. That's something Zion has as well. Rodney Rogers was a versatile defender. I think where you'd have to give the nod to Rodney and what made his career in the NBA stretch out so long is Rodney could really shoot that thing from distance. And I think that's a place where Zion Williamson can grow. But I look at comparisons of people like that aren't necessarily guys that changed what the NBA was, but they have good careers. And I think that's what I look at with Zion and say, hey, that's a baseline comparison. But then I do look at a Blake Griffin and say, you know, his ability to play through Blake Griffin in the offenses where that's what he's done in L.A. and that's what he's done in Detroit. Zion can be a guy you play through. And again, that goes back to that Draymond Green comparison is he has so many different skills you can plug and play with him and use him to your benefit in so many different ways. And I think that's where you see the LeBron James comparison, the Blake Griffin comparison, all these guys who have such big impacts on the game without the basketball in their hands all the time.
Now, you and I watch a lot of basketball, so, you know, we're very well-versed on Rodney Rogers, but I think the casual fan who just heard what you said is cringing, knowing that Rodney Rogers, for the most part of his NBA career, was a bench player. And if you take Zion
sure.
Williamson number one overall, you're going to want more than that. I mean, the guy that I've compared him to a lot is a shorter version of Sean Kemp. You know, Sean Kemp was a legit 6'9", 6'10", but he was a power player who developed somewhat of an offensive, you know, an outside shooting game as he progressed in his NBA career. I think if he could be as good as Sean Kemp, I think the Bulls fans would gladly take that if Zion were to come to Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And that's why I say when I go comparison, I don't necessarily put it with the arc of that kind of career, but just what he possesses. And Rodney Rogers had a lengthy career in the NBA. The NBA has changed greatly since Rodney Rogers was in it. What I see there is some of those skills, and where Zion's playing right now is in college, and where Rodney Rogers was dominant was in college. Now, what happens when he goes to the next level and a league that's drastically different? You can't project those kind of things, but what you can say is this is what he brings to the table, and I am confident that Zion's going to be a guy who has an immediate impact and longevity in the NBA. That's just a matter of how his body holds up. But if you're worried about Zion being a guy who's going to put on a lot of weight and is going to eat himself out of the league, that's just not the case. What you will see is the same thing that happened with Draymond Green. Draymond had that baby fat on him. He leaned down once he got in front of the right people that worked on his body. And once you become a professional, those things change. And I think when Zion's body slims down and that baby fat comes off him and it's all muscle, watch out. I mean, the guy's, he's got an NBA-ready body, and it's only going to improve.
Well, obviously the biggest need for the Bulls right now is at the small forward position. Really, the biggest need is to develop chemistry with all the young guys. But if you're projecting out into off-season needs, you look at the three spot. They just traded Justin Holiday. Denzel Valentine's coming back from ankle surgery. They need a guy who can plug and play at the three spot. So let's move down to R.J. Barrett, who's kind of a combo 2-3. But at 6'7", I think he could play the small forward spot in the NBA. What's your evaluation on R.J. Barrett?
You know, I love him. And up until a week ago, I had him as my number one pick. Everyone was in love with, fell in love with Zion, rightfully so, for all the things we spent the last few minutes talking about. But I was keying in on R.J. Barrett as the number one pick because of his ability to generate offense. And that's at a premium in the NBA, and it always has been and always will be, and it definitely is present-day here. The lefty at 6'7", has great length, has great ball skill, can get off his own shot, can create space, can get to the rim at will, and is so good maneuvering as a sinewy forward through those defenses to get to the rim. Take no look further than their last game against Florida State in a hostile environment, and when they needed to get a basket, they clear it out. Zion on the bench with injury, got poked in the eye. They draw up a clear out for R.J. Barrett, and against one of the lengthiest, most athletic defenses that the Seminoles are able to boast, R.J. Barrett's able to cut him up, get to the rim, and draw a foul, knock down the free throw to extend the game. And so when I look at a guy that you can say, hey, spread you out, which is what the NBA does, allow this guy room to operate, and he can either draw a foul, get to the rim and finish, create space and pull up, that's the kind of guy that you look at and say, hey, this guy's capable of scoring 25-plus in the league. To me, that sounds like a number one pick, too. So for all the ways that Zion impacts the game, a lot of that is predicated on being a bully down low and getting high-percentage shots. How will that work in the next level? That's a question when I talk about Zion. But with RJ, there's no question that he's a bucket getter. And when you talk about bucket getters, I know that's something that'll make a guy like Kendall Gill's eyes light up, because that's why he's one of the most beloved players in Charlotte Hornets history, because he was a bucket getter. And that's exactly what this guy is, the guy who can generate offense.
And because he's left-handed, because he can get to the free throw line, because he kind of has those funky drives to the basket, again, the comparison, some people want to compare him to James Harden. You see any similarities there?
I do. James Harden shoots a better clip from three, but as you look right now, RJ's probably in the mid, maybe low 30s from the three-point line. He's got to grow there. He's got to become a better three-point shooter. I do see the similarities there in terms of a guy that can just score the ball. RJ defensively, he has less than to be desired defensive skill. But again, if you're picking a guy like that, you're picking it for offense. He's also a playmaker. I mean, his ability to assist, he assists at a high clip, which some people may say he's a gunner, and I get it. In that offense, he's kind of learning still how to play alongside other guys who are scorers. At the next level, there'll be even more options. So his ability to get others involved, he has the ability to do it. It's just the understanding of when and how to always do it. But in terms of the scoring ability, absolutely I see a correlation there with James Harden and how they're so good with their their ball skills, put that thing on the bounce and get to where they want to go, create that space with the step back, and obviously the lefty comparison and the length. Yeah, I can easily see that.
Well, I know franchises are lusting over the possibility of getting either Williamson or Barrett, but in my mind, after those top two players, the draft takes a significant drop. And when you look at the new lottery rules that are in place, the teams with the bottom three records each have a 14% chance to win the first pick, and then it drops to like 12.6 for the fourth team. But spots 1 through 4 will be decided by the lottery. A team with the worst record could fall as far as fifth if they don't have any lottery luck. When you look at the picks beyond Williamson and Barrett, you look at guys like Cam Reddish, you look at Kevin Porter from USC, Ja Morant, a point guard from Murray State, Romeo Langford from Indiana, Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech. Any of those guys catch your attention yet as somebody you think that might be a better player once they get to the NBA level?
Yeah, Cam Reddish is a guy that everybody loves to talk about. He's just starting to come out of his shell. He came out really hot in the first few games early in the season, but the 6 games prior to the Florida State game, he was miserable. I averaged about 7.5 per game, shooting 25% from the field. Then Zion goes out with the injury at Florida State, and he blows up for 23 points and knocks down the game-winning three. It shows you a little bit of that. To me right now, Cam Reddish is a 3-and-D guy. And to me, that doesn't feel like the third pick in the draft. A lot of people think he has the ability to become a T-Mac-esque guy, potentially. I don't see that yet. Cam Reddish has only shown me the ability to live and die by the three-point shot and occasionally defend when he wants to, although the skills are there. Ja Morant is a guy who's really jumped up in this draft out of Murray State, and I know Murray State guards don't exactly excite the Chicago Bulls fan base.
Yeah, they're thinking Isaiah Cannon and Cameron Payne.
Yeah, Cam Payne might be the one with the worst taste in the mouth, and
right.
I get it. But Ja Morant at 6'3 reminds me a little bit of De'Aaron Fox in terms of the motor and how he just plays fast and a blur in the transition, gets guys involved, an uncanny ability to pass the ball better than maybe anybody in this draft. Very explosive. At 6'3", very long. He showed the ability to perform against high-level defenses like Auburn's, where he had a big-time game and a 5-point loss. Jarrett Culver is a guy I like a lot out of Texas Tech. 6'6", has good size. I see a lot of Chandler Hutchison in him right now, so I don't know if the Bulls want to go that route because it seems like a guy who's not very far off with what Chandler Hutchison gives you. He's a very interesting guy that has a very high ceiling, but again, Chandler has a lot of that feel there. So as you look at those guys right there, I don't really think there's a guy that really jumps out at you as that next guy, but those are definitely some potential ones that you look at. Then later on in the draft, there are some guys that have top five quality talent, like a Lucas Dort out of Arizona State, a 6'4", 6'5 guard that's incredibly gifted physically. He's a high riser. He's explosive. He can shoot it. He's a two-way player. So there are some steals in this draft, but when you talk about top heavy, after those top two locks, there's a lot of unknown in this draft. I agree, Mark.
Well, last year I kind of fell in love with Mikal Bridges, who was having a great year for Villanova, helped him win a national championship, but his playing time has been erratic in Phoenix this year, and it looks like he's going to have to put on some strength to become an impact player at the NBA level. The guy that I really love in this draft, beyond Williamson and Barrett, is Ja Morant, who you talked about. You know, he plays in the Ohio Valley, so you don't see them on ESPN every night, and you see some of the highlight packages, and if you squint and you look real hard, you can kind of see a young Dwayne Wade there, a 6'3 guy, skinny, who can fly over defenders. You know, I don't know. Right now, he doesn't shoot the three ball well. Dwayne Wade never really did shoot the three ball well in his career. But I think this is a guy that he could be really special. He could be, you know, maybe if you tone it down a little bit, maybe a Dennis Smith Jr. type player. But, you know, I think the growth or the possibilities for Morant is probably as high as any player in this draft beyond the top two.
Yeah, I agree. And the other guy you did mention too there, Mark, was Romeo Langford out of Indiana. I'll get a chance to watch him again this evening against Nebraska. He's a very, very talented player, a highly confident one, another scorer who's very athletic, who's got a great outside touch. I like him. I like Kelvin Johnson out of Kentucky. He's another very interesting
right.
pick with good size at the guard position who can flat-out score too. Those are guys that, you know, as I look in this draft, there's a lot of guys who can generate offense at a high clip. And to me, those guys are always intriguing because you look at a Bulls team that needs more of a punch offensively. especially from the perimeter, guys like that, definitely intrigued me. And I do think Romeo's a good one to look at there, but I also like Kelton Johnson as well.
Another guy we did not mention is Nasir Little, who some people compare to Jimmy Butler as a defense-first kind of guy from North Carolina. But he's coming off the bench right now for Roy Williams, only averaging about 9 points. And to be honest, the times I've seen him, I've been very underwhelmed. But we're running out of time, so I want to get to a couple Bulls topics. They practiced in Monday in Los Angeles, and Robin Lopez had to be taken off the court for about 10 minutes, according to Jim Boylan, because he got a little bit too feisty. Things got too heated out there. Do you like to see the aggression, the little bit of bad blood in practice? Is that a good sign for a team that's kind of drowning right now at midseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably first clearly point to frustration from an older guy in Lopez with maybe what's surrounding him. He has been a fiery guy at random moments throughout the last season or two, so I could see that happening. Yeah, I'd like to see a little fire in these guys as long as it's positive fire. You know, I've been on teams not at the professional level but the collegiate level where sometimes those kind of moments bring a team closer together but also show that the competitive fire is there. I'm kind of surprised that Boylan wasn't a guy who was amped up about it and wanted to keep him in practice because he's such a tough those guy and probably enjoys those kind of things. But that could go one of two ways, honestly, Mark. It could be one where just frustration is just at an all-time high. It's reached an apex, and now it's going to get ugly there. Or it could be one where these guys are trying to compete and practice, get better, and that competitive juice was just flowing, which is always a good thing.
Well, there are a couple of national reports regarding possible trades down the line. A report from Yahoo saying that Robin Lopez will not be bought out of his contract. The Bulls are trying to work out a trade. They don't want to give him up without getting an asset in return. And Jabari Parker talked to the press in Salt Lake City. Of course, he is a practicing Mormon, and he said he has a home in the Salt Lake City area, so he wouldn't mind playing for the Jazz at some point. Do you anticipate one or both of these guys getting moved before the February 7th trade deadline?
Yeah, I'd be more surprised if Lopez does get moved, but what a black eye for the Chicago Bulls with the Jabari Parker situation. I mean, you talk about some of the real bad moves over the last few seasons, and this Jabari Parker one goes right up there with all of them. I mean, they knew who they were signing when they brought him in. They knew his level of commitment to the game. They knew what kind of guy he was in the locker room, meaning he's not really a team guy. He's not really a rah-rah, let's build here, let me teach the young guys. Because he's still one of the young guys learning on his own. We know that he has no desire to play defense. And this was kind of where this ship was headed. But, well, I mean, what was it, $40 million? How much was he getting paid?
$40 million, $20 million guaranteed for the first year, yeah.
You're guaranteeing a guy $20 million to sit there on the bench and not play at all for a team that is horrible. So I my whole issue is, if you knew what you were getting in Jabari Parker and the team has gone this far south, why wouldn't you give a guy who at least was generating some offense an opportunity to get out there and help this team that is so completely clueless? I think Boylan's put a mark in the sand and decided to take this stance, and it's helping nobody. I mean, I understand that the Bulls, hey, at the end of the day, losing is good for this team because it puts them in position with the draft, but you brought this guy in, you paid him a lot of money. He's clearly no part of the rotation, and I think the only thing that makes sense at this point is for somebody who wants to take him to move him. So I think as glaringly more black the eye gets, that I think there's going to be some movement there. And with the Mormon ties in Utah and what he can bring that team, it makes sense for that to happen sooner than later.
Yeah, it'll be something interesting to watch. Joe Colley of the Sun-Times reporting on Monday afternoon that Robin Lopez was told before practice his minutes are going to be cut. That could suggest that maybe they're going to try to showcase Jabari, giving him more minutes at the four, and let Bobby Portis be your backup five, and Lopez falls out of the rotation. So a lot of things to watch as the road trip continues with games in Los Angeles on Tuesday and Denver on Thursday. And we'll have to see what kind of roster moves happen before the February 7th trade deadline. And then it's all focus on the draft. So, Jordan, we appreciate your time, and hopefully we can have you on as we get to the closer to the NCAA tournament and get some updates on some of these guys as we look ahead to the draft in June.
Hey, Mark, anything for you, man. A true pro, great friend. Love listening to you. Love listening to the podcast. Happy to be a part of it today.
Jordan, thank you so much. Say hello to your lovely fiance, Shay, and we'll be talking again real soon.
You got it, my friend.
That is Jordan Cornette. Again, you can catch him on The Jam on WCIU. He's also on Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN Radio. And you can catch him in studio and as a game analyst doing games throughout the country for ESPN. And don't forget, you can catch all of the Bulls Talk podcasts presented by Coors Light. You can go to our website, NBCSportsChicago.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe at Google, Stitcher, or Google Play, Stitcher, and Apple. So long, everybody. We'll be talking again real soon.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today